The Manipulated Man by Esther Villar. Narrated by El Zorro Plateador. Forward to The Manipulated Man. The context of the 70s. The year was 1971, and the world buzzed with activity and history. Sexual politics was on fire. The Vietnam War was in its 16th year and drafting young men into service. Playboy magazine was enjoying its zenith of influence and notoriety, and the pornography industry was set to go nationwide. 4 years earlier, the hippies had sparkled in their summer of love, but by this time their free love movement had flamed out headlong into a grim reality, one in which their soul-searching couldn't provide the transformational answers they were looking for. During this time, second-wave feminism was gaining in global momentum. Unsatisfied with what first-wave feminists gained in the 20s, the right to vote, this new wave of feminism arose in the early 60s with outspoken radical feminists like Betty Friedan in her 1963 seminal text, The Feminine Mystique, The Dialectic of Sex, The Case for Feminist Revolution, and followed in the mid-1970s with Andrea Dworkin's Woman Hating. Within this incredibly complex social environment, a 36-year-old Argentinian German doctor and medical researcher named Esther Villar watched feminism metastasize unchecked across the globe. But she was not having it. To provide another perspective to impede feminism and thwart its power grab, she published The Manipulated Man. The basic premise of feminism is that women are fundamentally oppressed and exploited in society by men, economically, physically, and sexually. Villar took the precise opposite stance, that women exploit men by using sex as leverage to oppress them in the same way, economically, physically, and sexually. Villar's writing. Villar writes the way Germans make cars, with small but well-built elements, streamlined, dense, and sturdy. In this way, The Manipulated Man reads the way a Volkswagen Bug drives. Writing this book took gigantic balls, courage so steely one wonders what she was thinking. Instead of stemming the tide of feminism, her book was like throwing a tank of gasoline on a bonfire. The fallout of this book upon her was incredible. Demonized by feminists as an apologist and a fascist, her personal life was devastated. Villar's conceptual framework is extremely simple. You are either a woman, and the world revolves around you, or you're a man, and you built this world to revolve around them. In The Manipulated Male, Villar portrays the sexes in a troubling way. She condemns women as lazy, intellectually dead, as architects of a grand lie, placing men as their slaves. Then she portrays men as almost angelic, as innocent, as pure, as victims. Villar's greatest flaw, so far as I see her work, is her binary stance on gender. For as she demonizes women, she whitewashes men. Neither sex is innocent completely, neither completely guilty, and we all carry both blame and innocence. One major omission in her frame is how Villar doesn't view human behavior and psychology in terms of alpha dominance or beta submission, a psychological trait we perceive more clearly today. How does hypergamy fit into The Manipulated Man? From a man's perspective, hypergamy benefits the top 20 or 10% of alpha men. These rare and fortunate dominant males figure in Villar's work only as bosses who exploit workers. She never talks about their sexual predilections, womanizing, and philandering. Villar refers almost exclusively to beta men and their troubling situation as they are tossed into the grinder. Our world and its incredible vanity can be brutally harsh if you're physically unattractive, no matter what gender you are. But if you are dominant and either rich or beautiful, the world is yours. None of this matters much in the brutal world of Villar. Villar's work in today's world. We deal today, in the spring of 2019, with many of the same issues Villar wrote about then. Today, the wedding industry is psychotically bizarre and parasitically overpriced, a product of disturbing consumerization of marriage, and long faded are traditional celebrations of marriage as a union between a man and a woman. The differences between how Western culture handles Mother's Day, like a feeding frenzy of sentimental gifts and a cacophony of sappy emotions, could not be in greater contrast to that of Father's Day, which has the same lifeless energy as that of a forlorn flea market selling rusty antiques. These questions could go on seemingly without end. What would she say about the current state of marriage, prenuptial agreements, divorce laws? What would she say about family planning options for women as compared to those for men? How does the technological tsunami of social media affect women and hypergamy? How does this technology impact the lives of men? What would she say about the Me Too movement? What would she say of the acid attacks by men upon women in Bangladesh, India, Pakistan, and the United Kingdom? How do the various world religions compare to each other with regard to the exploitation of men and the submission of women? How does Hollywood today spread feminism? In The Manipulated Man, the specific chapters are divided up into neatly organized chunks, each dovetailing into the next. In the chapter called The Emancipated Female, Villar is particularly brutal towards women who choose to work despite not needing to, and she attacks the ethical high ground these women believe they hold. Today we see women struggle with their need to be free from the oppressive and controlling qualities of men against the drudgery of work in the male world, of which they have willingly thrown themselves into. In the chapter called Self-Conditioning, which is about how men build the very systems that shackle themselves into slavery, she writes, "Man is caught in a trap of his own making." This itself brilliantly highlights the way the sexes must intermingle. In the chapter called The Masks of Femininity, she takes a hysterically funny take on makeup and the bizarre, to men, behavior of feminine beauty. And many of these ideas today have gotten worse and are even more relevant than they were 50 years ago. Villar says how things are, but never says how things should be or might be. She elucidates, but never dictates. It would be interesting to hear what she thinks a man should do now or how he might change, and what woman should do now or how she might change. Villar doesn't bother to explain why men and women often do love each other, and she never gives the kinder sides of humanity much due. So it is with great pleasure I present to you Villar's fascinating and troubling perspective on people in the late 60s and early 70s. I hope you can find a way to intellectually withstand her high-voltage beliefs on men and women and allow them to electrify, to challenge, and perhaps even to strengthen yours. El Zorro Plateador, April 2019.